Well, good morning, RCF family. Great to be here with you this morning. And this morning, we're going to be continuing our series on evangelism. So let's pray, and we'll dig into today's message. And that is a pun. I'll tell you more later. Father, we come to you at the beginning of our time together, and we want to ask for your help. We ask that your Spirit would move in our hearts and our minds and in this room. We thank you, Father, for the gospel story. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for each one here. And we just pray that you would bless each person here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're working our way through the evangelism series. Oh, just before we start, I was spoken to this week by someone at RCF, and when we first kicked off the evangelism series on, I think it was October 15th. Anyway, I made the statement from this platform that as we looked around at the congregation at RCF, some are already smiling, that I said, I'm not sure how many folks would be able to put up their hand and say, I was brought to church, I was brought to RCF, or someone from RCF introduced me to Jesus. Well, that's not true. That's not true, and I stand corrected. There's folks here that have been come to faith and that have been brought to church by folks. And I've spoken to one, and there's a glow, like there's total glow on the face, because there's nothing, I don't think there's anything, any higher thing. There's no better high for a Christian than to see someone come to faith in Christ, like to see their life changed from death to life, right? That is a high. And I've seen highs here this past couple weeks, and it is a blessing. So, the evangelism series. So the title is Hide or Seek, and it's taken from that verse in Luke 19 and 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So the intent of the series is to teach and to challenge us to share the same vision that the Lord Jesus had, and that was to seek out the lost, those that don't know Jesus, and to share with them the good news of the gospel. And the alternative is to hide, is to not share our faith. And we talked about that, generally speaking, evangelism is not a priority in the Western world. And we know that when evangelism is a priority, we're blessed, we've experienced that. And RCF will be blessed if we can make evangelism a priority. And that's just being obedient to the Lord Jesus, because he said, go and make disciples of all men. And as we mature, as we become more Christ-like, as God changes us to become more and more like his son, we're going to pick up that desire that Jesus has. And his desire is that he would see all men come to know him. So this morning, we're going to look at the message. That was the pun. The message is the message this morning. The message of the gospel. What is the gospel? And when you and I are sharing our faith, what are the core beliefs of the gospel that would make you a Christian? What are the facts that we absolutely have to get right when we're talking about the gospel? This morning, we're just going to major on the majors to share the good news, and we'll concentrate on just those core beliefs. You know, as Christians, sometimes those of us that have been around churches a long time, we can get off on tangents and maybe major on the minors, but this morning, I want to look at just the bare bones of what the gospel message is. And there's one passage that really stands out in my mind that shares those core beliefs, and that's in 1 Corinthians 15. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there, 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to read the first 11 verses. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 1. Paul's writing this to the Corinthians, and this is maybe one of the very first books written in the New Testament. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you believed in vain. For what I received, this is Paul saying, Paul received from the Lord, for what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you have believed. Several of the speakers in this series have talked about gospel and what, and the gospel is good news. And it's often used in old days of an announcement of good news, winning a war, or maybe the announcement of a new king or a new emperor. But what we're talking about this morning is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's going to be the key this morning. As we share in the work of evangelism, having a clear understanding of what the gospel is really critical. And this morning, if you do not have a good understanding of the gospel, I encourage you to lean in as we go through about 5 points of what the gospel story is. And if you're here today and you're skeptical of the gospel, I'd also encourage you to lean in and to listen. And the reason I say that is often in my own life, I will take an opinion or listen to others' opinion and form my own opinion without really understanding the essence of what I'm deciding on. So if you are skeptical this morning of the gospel, I urge you to listen to this simple gospel presentation, what makes up the core of the gospel. So we're going to look at five points. One, the gospel story is about Jesus. Two, sin is the problem. Three, Jesus died in our place. Four, Jesus is alive. And five, transformation takes place. So, number one, the gospel story is about Jesus. Jesus is the core of the gospel. But he's not just the core of the gospel. Jesus is the whole gospel. The gospel is all about Jesus. Jesus is God's Son. He came from heaven. He was born of a Virgin Mary. He took on flesh as we celebrate this time of year. He became incarnate. He took on flesh. He lived on this planet for 33 years. He died on a Roman cross. He was buried, and he rose again. The gospel story is all about Jesus. And it's not advice about Jesus. It's about news of Jesus. So a gospel without Jesus is not the gospel. Jesus, according to the gospel, is the Savior of the world. Two, sin is the problem. We were made in God's image. We were made to love God and to serve God. And Adam and Eve, back in the garden, decided they could do a better job of orchestrating their lives than God did. They decided they knew best, and they rebelled at God's authority, and they disobeyed. and sin entered the world. And that relationship with a holy God was severed because of sin. Every one of us feels the consequences of sin today. It's devastated our world with death and sickness and pain and guilt and shame. God's given us the verdict. The wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. When I reflect on my life, it doesn't take me very long to know that I'm a sinner. As I look back on my life, I don't have to spend any time coming to that conclusion. Probably you're the same. Paul has a short verse that he says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory." That means everybody. Without intervention, our journey ahead is doom and gloom. We'll all stand before God someday, and we will give account of our lives. And someone will pay the punishment of our sins. We have a debt to pay. We have wronged God, and we have a debt to pay. And God is a just God, and as a just God, will exact punishment or payment for that sin. Our sin has offended God, a holy God. God's wrath or God's punishment will be exacted on someone for my sin and for yours. 3, Jesus died in our place. Paul says, "For what I received, I pass on to you of first importance that Christ died for our sins." The story of the gospel is the story of Jesus stepping into our shoes and on the cross taking the penalty for my sin and your sin for the sin of the world. It says later in Corinthians, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, so he was perfect. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's a good deal. So Jesus takes our sin and our guilt and our shame, and he's punished for our sin. God's wrath, by being just, is poured out on Jesus for our sins. Jesus died a horrible, humiliating death on a Roman cross near Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. He was beaten brutally. He had a crown of thorns jammed on his head. His hands and feet were nailed to the cross. And God punished him. God poured out his wrath on Jesus for us, for the sins of the world. And in exchange for him taking our judgment and our guilt and our shame, he gave us new life. It's not fair for him. It's a good deal for us. So we gave him our sinful life and our sins. He took them, was punished for them, and in exchange, he gives us his life, new life. He makes us righteous in him because he took the penalty for our sin. So we give Jesus our sinful life. He takes our sin. He takes our shame. He takes our guilt. He dies the death we should have died for us, for our sin. In exchange for that, he gives us new life, eternal life. It's actually his life that he gives us. The gospel story is the story that Jesus did it all. In any other religion, There's rules and conditions and duties to work to get to God, to get to heaven, to try and get better, to try and clean up ourselves, to make it on our own. The leader of every other religion is a teacher. There's no other religion that says the leader is the Savior. Jesus, God's Son, is our Savior. The core of the Christian belief is that Jesus did it all, and there's nothing we can do to be righteous or to be holy. That part of the gospel is not well understood. So often, we think we need to do stuff to get right with God. I've had many conversations with folks at work, and they would identify as a Christian. And when asked why they would identify as a Christian, they would say things like, well, I'm a good worker, I'm a good dad, I'm a moral person, I even give to the Red Cross. And if God is a good God, he's going to see me as a good person and accept me. The Christian belief is totally different from any other religion, because Christianity is not based on what we do. It's based on what Jesus has done. So the fourth point, Jesus is alive. Jesus died for our sins and was buried in a tomb near Jerusalem. On the third day, he rose from the dead. Paul goes on in that scripture, almost like an investigative journalist, and he says he was raised from the dead according to the scriptures, because he looked back and Isaiah and so forth had that predicted. But then he goes on to say these six groups of people have seen Jesus, and he's talking to the Corinthians. He said, look, you saw 500 at once, and lots of these folks are still living, so if you really want to check it out, go talk to them. Why is the resurrection an important part? Why is the resurrection a core belief of the Christian faith? Well, it signifies that death and sin have been defeated. Later on in the chapter, it talks more about the resurrection of Jesus. And it says the sting of sin is death. The sting of sin is death. But it goes on to say that we have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ because he's had victory. So when Jesus rose from the dead, it signifies that he has dealt with sin a death blow. God has been satisfied with his work on the cross. His wrath has been poured out fully. And Jesus has taken the sin guilt for all the world. But it also matters to us Christians, doesn't it? Because Jesus came back and was resurrected in bodily form. He walked and talked and was seen by all these people. And I think that's so cool because we're not just going to be souls floating around in heaven. We're going to be resurrected with new bodies, with forever bodies that will never die, will never wear out, will be perfect, right? And so that resurrection signifies that as well. Five, transformation takes place. When you become a Christian, God's Spirit comes and lives inside of you. That's an amazing thing, right? Like God, the creator of the universe, his Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And a transformation begins to take place. It starts to change you from the inside out. It changes how we think, changes how we talk, changes how we look at people, changes how we look at work, changes everything. Paul tells of his personal experience. He says, I don't really deserve to be a Christian. He said, of all people, I was the guy that was trying to stamp out Christianity. I persecuted the church. He calls himself the chief of sinners. But he says this, and I love this, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul, as we know, was we might call him the super apostle. If you had to point to one person other than the Lord Jesus Christ who would be the most influential in the 2,000 years, I think we would Paul would get all our votes. He took the gospel to the known world. So that's who he is. But who he was, he tried to stamp out Christianity. And transformation took place in his life. God's Spirit worked and transformed that man. That's the gospel story. The Christian gospel story promises forgiveness of sins, freedom from our guilt, and freedom from shame. It takes away the fear of death because we have peace with God. We know that we have become righteous because of Jesus and his work. Christianity promises eternal life forever with the Lord Jesus, the creator of the world. It promises a home in heaven when we leave this earth, a forever home where everything is perfect. There's no sin and everything is perfect. Can you imagine your very best day, maybe a Saturday sitting on the dock when the lake's calm? Every day is going to be perfect. And we're going to be loved to the max by Jesus, our Savior, the same person who died for us. That's amazing, eh? Gives us a new foundation for our lives, which gives purpose and meaning to our days. Quick question. Is there anything not to like about the gospel story? We're about to close. You may have noticed that I have not mentioned that you must repent and believe to be, that is a part of the gospel story. I haven't mentioned that as my 5 points. Because repent and believe is not a part of the gospel story. It's a response to the gospel story. And that's where each of us here have a choice. We can choose our response. We can choose to understand the facts and choose to repent. That means turning away from our ways and our desire to be in control of our lives and turn to the Lord and to repent and to believe in Jesus of the gospel story of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So we can choose to believe or we can choose not to believe. And that's the choice that each of us has this morning. And each of those choices has consequences. So let's recap. The gospel story is about Jesus. Sin is the problem. Jesus died in our place. Jesus is alive. And transformation takes place. And the question for everyone here this morning is, how do you respond? Paxton, I think we have time to... Just going to read 3 verses from a hymn just before we close. Because I think these words kind of sum up the gospel story. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, the gift of love and righteousness scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Father, thank you for your word, your gospel story, an amazing story of Jesus doing everything. And each one of us choosing how we respond to the gospel story that Jesus loved and died and took our punishment. Father, we just pray for each one here as we consider our response and as we consider the gospel story. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.